when I just again watched it this morning. And it was the one that said, if your gospel isn't touching others, it isn't touching you. If the gospel that you profess or that you confess or the relationship that you have with Jesus is not touching others, then it probably hasn't really touched you. Because God has called you and I to go and tell. That's what evangelism is, to go and tell, to share the gospel, to preach, to live, to teach the good news about Jesus Christ. Connor and I were having a conversation about what the youth would be doing this next month in The Point. And he was sharing with me that they were going to do a series on evangelism, a series on sharing the faith, because our students want to know how to do that. I love that. I love the fact that our students want to know, how do we share our faith? Now, parents, adults, I hope that's the desire of your heart as well. That you want to know, how do you share your faith? How do you tell others about Jesus? Because whether you want to or not, for the next month, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to spend June looking at how is it that we go and tell? How do we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus? So we're going to kick off this morning. I'm getting kind of a big echo back here. Someone's on, I think. There we go. So we're going to kick off this morning by what I'm just calling Evangelism 101, the basics. So where we're going to start this morning, where we're going to launch from, is what is evangelism and why do we do it? Just what is it? What is this thing that we're supposed to do, and why are we supposed to do it? And then over the next few weeks, we're going to really kind of dig into some very practical ways of how is it that we share our faith with the people around us, with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our strangers that we encounter. How is it that we respond to the call that God has placed on our life, which we're going to talk about today, to share our faith? Because we have to. In fact, God has chosen to partner with us to spread his name, to make the name of Jesus known to the four corners of the planet, so that every tribe and tongue, every people group will have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. So we're kicking this Go and Tell series off today by talking about evangelism. What is it and why do we do it? Well, it seems to me we've got to actually get really foundational first, because we got to talk about what the gospel is. The gospel is simply a word that means good news. It is the good news about what Jesus has done, about what God has sent his son to do in our world so that we might experience the abundant life that he has for us. So let's kick off by looking at some scripture passages from Romans chapter 10 that talk about what the gospel is. What is the good news? Why do we call it the good news? Why do we call it the gospel? Look and see what the Apostle Paul writes. He makes it so abundantly clear. If you want a great primer to understand your faith and how you're supposed to live it out, in other words, what you're supposed to believe and how you're supposed to behave, the book of Romans is a great place to start. Because the Apostle Paul takes the first 11 chapters and talks about what is faith. What does it mean to have a belief or a trust or a hope in Jesus? And then he spends the next few chapters, 12 through the end, talking about how do we live that out? What is the behavior that we're supposed to exhibit as fully committed followers of Jesus? And so he tells us in Romans 10, 9 through 13, what the gospel is. He writes, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is such good news, right? If you openly declare and believe that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. In other words, you're made right with God. Fancy word that we use in the church is that you've been justified, just as if you have never sinned. You've been made right with God. And he says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Do you notice that the two things that are heading, that are holding tension there? That it is by believing and declaring. So our faith is not just something that's this internal thing that, hey, I got it in here and it's all good and it's just about me. It is not. We come to faith in Jesus so that we can be used by Jesus to spread the gospel across the planet. So it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. I love that, anyone. That means the gospel is available to all people. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that amazing? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be made right with God. That is spectacular news. So let's just break it down. If you've been around here for any length of time, you've heard this little piece before, because I think it's important for us to understand, what does it mean for us to be made right with God? What does it mean for us to be saved? And it's kind of a threefold idea here. The first is that we are saved, or we're made right from the penalty of sin. See, scripture is really clear. The penalty of sin is judgment and death. It is separation from God. But when we're made right with God, that penalty is wiped away. It's like we get this stamp on our lives that just says, forgiven, made right, mine. We're made right with God. That we're saved from the penalty of sin, and we're saved from the presence of sin. In other words, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the presence of sin like begins to diminish. Is that it's kind of this inverse relationship. The more we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the less sin there is in our lives. That's why as followers of Jesus, we never stop growing, because we continually have stuff that needs to be like redone, right? Recreated, renewed. Like some of it needs to be wiped completely away and replaced with other things. And so when we're made right with God, the presence of sin actually goes away. So the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the less sinful we should be. And that happens by the presence of God coming and taking residence up in us. And so we're also saved from the power of sin. In other words, what used to get us before won't get us. What used to look really good as far as sin becomes much not so good anymore. That what used to draw us in actually repels us away. And so when we're made right with God, this amazing thing begins to happen inside of us, this transformation, this renewal, this recreation and restoration. And I will tell you, if you are not experiencing this, then you might not have really experienced Jesus. Because you don't come to faith in Jesus and stay where you are. You come to faith in Jesus and you grow in your relationship with Jesus. That not only the penalty of sin is wiped away, but the presence and the power of sin just diminishes more and more and more. And so you become this new creation in Christ. The Apostle Paul says that the old is dead and the new is here. So we are to share the gospel, share the good news, because the gospel is good news. That we're made right with God. But see, there's this great dilemma. The Apostle Paul poses this great dilemma. Now, I wish I could scream this one. Many of you think I scream too loud anyways. But I want to highlight this. I want to bold this. I want to underline this. I want to do whatever I can do to get these next few verses in your head and raise the intensity of these in your heart so much that literally your heart gets broken this morning. That your heart gets broken when you see the world. Because look what the Apostle Paul writes in the next few verses, 14 through 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Will you say how?
How?
The Apostle Paul says, how are they going to know? He's not only writing to the church in Rome, he's writing to us throughout the ages. And he's saying, to you, how will the people in your life, those that you love and care about, your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, your coworkers, even the people you don't like, how will they know about Jesus if you don't tell them? Here's the bad news. They can't and they won't. See, we got to raise that intensity, right? We got to look at the people around us. Not that I want you to develop some Messiah or Savior complex because we already got one. But understand just how important this is. That if we don't go, if we don't tell, they might not ever hear. They might not ever know. Now, does that put a big weight on you? It sure does, and it better. Because what that should do is give us new eyes to see the people around us. The people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. The people who are not connected to a local church. The people you know who don't go. They should matter to us. Because they matter to God. They matter to God so much. So much they matter to God that he was willing to send his son into this world to die for us and them so that they might be made right, so that we might be made right with God. And so the question that I have for you, the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, does it really matter to me if the people around me are saved? Really, I want you to look at this question, and I want you to just take an honest assessment of where you are right now. Does it really, really matter to you? Because I will tell you, it matters to God. Does it matter to you if the people around you have been saved or not? Does it matter to you if the trajectory of the people around you is heaven or hell? Does it matter? It should. It really should. It should matter to us whether or not the people that we come into contact with every day, it should matter to us whether or not they're saved. Because we who know and we believe that it really is good news. That it's not just about where we're going to spend forever, but it's about how do we spend today? How do we make it through today and tomorrow and the next day? In other words, that it's a relationship that we have with God that begins the moment you come into a relationship with God. And so we have this mandate. Evangelism is our mandate. It is the thing that God says we have to do. It is something that we do with intention, with purpose, with a goal in mind. Now, the Bible talks about there are some people who have the spiritual gift of evangelism. You've heard of people like that, like Billy Graham. Man, he could walk into a place and people just be like, I'm coming to Jesus. So there are people who are gifted with this ability to share the gospel, but that doesn't excuse or diminish our responsibility. Because those people who have the spiritual gift of evangelism, while they might be great in arena events and in big crowds, it's we who are on the front lines every day who God has said, I want you to make a difference. I want you to share your faith. Students, you are supposed to share your faith. Adults, you are supposed to share your faith. You are supposed to go and tell, go and invite, go and bring along. And see, so what is evangelism? So first question, what is evangelism? It is simply the act of communicating the gospel. It is the act of communicating the gospel. And it's not a sales pitch. But it's something that we are called to convince or to present to people so that they can make a real decision for themselves. It is the act of communicating, of telling people the good news about Jesus. Not just in how we live, but in what we say. And we always have to hold those intention. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm not really good at sharing my faith with my words, but I share my faith with my deeds. Quite frankly, that's not good enough. Because there's a lot of people out in the world who appear to be good people, right? But they just do good things. Well, good things don't point people to Jesus. We point people to Jesus with our mouth. You heard what the Apostle Paul said, right? He said, it's what you believe and what you declare. It's not only what you believe, but it's what you say. And so your life has to be this living testimony in word and deed. And there, by the way, has to be consistency in there. So it is the act of communicating, telling, speaking, living the gospel. And the essence of evangelism is the message. And we just looked at it. It's the message that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. That's the message. It's not that complicated. We don't have to come up with this like huge legal defense for the gospel. One of the quotes up there was, it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find water. It's us just simply telling people, like, what difference has Jesus made in your life? Why did you give your life to Jesus? What is it about Jesus that's so attractive, not only today, but forever? So what is the message for you? The message for me is, I have been made right with God because I am a reprobate sinner. That because of what Jesus did, he lived, he died, he rose again. I'm forgiven. I have been forgiven, I am being forgiven, and I will yet be forgiven because I'm still going to mess up. That's the message. That's the gospel. That when I close my eyes on this existence and open my eyes on the next existence, and it's a place that I get to spend forever. And I want everybody with me. Do you? Does it really matter to us? So are we sharing the gospel? Have we told people the message? Again, it's not that hard. We're going to spend a couple weeks looking at how to do that, though, because I want to give you some really practical ways to do that so that you can see it's not hard. Do you know, just give you a little clue, one of the first ways, one of the easiest ways that it begins is inviting. In other words, fill the chairs. Make it your priority to say, I want to fill the chairs. That's not George's job, that's our job. Let's fill the chairs by inviting, by bringing people in, by telling them the message of how it's changed your life. Because all Christians are evangelists. All of us are. We are called and sent by God. Every single one of us are called and sent wherever we are. Some key passages of Scripture. 1 Peter 3:15. If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always, can you say that, always? Always be ready to explain it. We have to. You know when they'll ask is if they see that your life is different. They'll ask, what is it about you? Why do you? What's up with? How come? They'll ask. We're told we have to be ready. We got to tell them. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. In other words, we're being commissioned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're being commissioned to say, go. Go into the world. Because we are Christ's ambassadors, as Paul puts it. God is making his appeal through us. Okay, let's hang out there for a second. It's not just here in the Scriptures, but he's making his appeal right here and right there. He's making his appeal to the world through you. Imagine that. And I will tell you, whatever God has called us and sent us to do, he will equip us. You don't know the words to say? First of all, figure out what they are. Second of all, just trust that God's going to give you the right words to say. Because if you have a real faith, it will come across. And you will find the words to say. Again, but I want to give you some help over the next few weeks. Because I want to fill the chairs. Not because I want to just make this church huge. I want to fill the chairs because every empty chair represents a life who doesn't know Jesus. What would our worship be like if we began to see each chair that way? Not as, oh, they're on vacation, or we're not bigger yet. But what if every chair, what if you look around and see the chairs next to you and all those chairs? What if you begin to look at those chairs and say, man, that chair represents a life of somebody who doesn't know Jesus? Because the studies tell us only about 17% of the population right now even knows. There are billions of people now on the planet who don't know Jesus. And we are his ambassadors. So our mandate is to go and tell. Go and tell. We evangelize. In other words, we share our faith. And I'm just going to give you two reasons why we do that. Two, what I think are just solid, biblical, relational reasons why you and I should be sharing our faith. The first one is because we're commanded to. This is not a divine suggestion. It's a divine command. It's not optional. It's a mandate. That's why I called it evangelism is our mandate. Because we are commanded by God to share our faith, to make the name of Jesus known. Look what it says in Acts 13:47. For the Lord God gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, so bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. Sometimes the farthest corners is just up on 150. Sometimes the farthest corners are across the country. Sometimes the farthest corners are in another country. Because we are told to make Jesus' name known across the planet. Jesus said, go into all the world, and preach the good news to everyone. And again, I've shared with you often that the go here is not just when you go to a specific place. The better translation is as you are going. So as you're going in the world, as you're going to work, as you're going to school, as you're going to River Run, as you're going to Six Flags, as you're going to the restaurant, as you're going to get your groceries, as you're going into the world, preach the good news to everyone. Now, I fall so far short of that. And so I'm one of the first one that's being convicted when I felt like this is what God wanted us to talk about in June. Because I need to amp up my evangelism quotient. My guess is you probably do too. Because God has chosen to make his name known through us. And so we evangelize, we share our faith first reason, because we're commanded to. Second reason, because we're compelled to. What do I mean by that? Is God like literally going, do it? Is he like yanking us? No. But it's an internal compulsion that we have, that we are compelled because the faith that we have is real. It is authentic. We have been restored. We have been renewed. We have been created anew. We have been changed. We have been transformed. And we're continuing to be all those things. And so there should be something inside of us that literally is just welling up. That it's like the geyser that just needs to shoot out because there's so much pressure in there, that there's so much pressure of what the Spirit of God is doing inside of us that we are just compelled to share the gospel, to tell others about Jesus. Because let's go back to that question, does it matter? And the collective answer should be, yes, it matters. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul writes, "Preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news." That was one of the first passages I remember that I looked at when I felt God calling me into ministry and when I went to seminary. And that verse was kind of just raised up all the time. How terrible for me if I don't preach the good news. In other words, if I say no, or if I'm not constantly lifting up the name of Jesus, how terrible in the sense is how my heart should actually break. How I should not see myself as doing what God wants me to do if I don't do it. That there should be this compulsion in me to share the good news. And again, the essence of the good news is so simple. Galatians 2:16. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're made right. There's not rules. There's not things we got to check off. There's not exclusions. It's a universal offer to all people, but it's a universal offer that must be received. It's a choice that we make to be made right with God, because God offers it, and he has his hands out like this, and our response is to just take it and to experience the abundant life that he has for us. So again, what is evangelism? Evangelism is just simply communicating the gospel. It is the essence of the message, and we are called by God and sent by God to tell others. That's what it is. It's us telling people about Jesus. And so I asked you the question that I want to raise one more time. As we begin this series of looking at how do we share our faith, how do we evangelize, how do we share the gospel, the good news about being made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. When you see the people around you who don't know Jesus, does it really matter? Does it really matter to you? See, I think one of the things that probably many of us need to pray is a prayer that looks like this. God, would you help me to see the people around me the way you see them? Because we look at people and we categorize and we judge and we fit them into like all kinds of profiles. But what if we could just kind of move all that aside and we just said, God, could you just help me to see people the way you saw me? Would you just help me to see people the way you see them? And would you break my heart for the people who don't know you, so that I might be responsive, so I might act on this command and this compulsion inside of me to share the gospel to the end. See, Jesus gives us an end in sight. He gives us a picture of a preferred future. He gives us his mission, his vision statement. You know what a vision statement is, right? A vision statement is, what do you see in the future? Like, what's your preferred picture? And the preferred picture comes right out of the Lord's Prayer. That the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God, would come on earth as it is in heaven. That his reign and rule would come here. And so I want to ask you, I want to plead with you, I want to encourage you with this one-line prayer. Oh God, help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to see people the way you see them.